Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
Last week, we heard about unprecedented levels of sexually transmitted infections, in particular chlamydia and gonorrhea in County Clare and in County Limerick. Yes. What causes issues like this and how can better information avoid unnecessary health problems? Well, on the line now is Dr. Mary McCaffrey, consultant gynaecologist at Scotia Women's Health Clinic in Tralee. And she's on the line. Mary, how are you?
Good morning, Jen. How are you? Welcome from wet and dreary looking Kerry today.
Oh, listen, we're not too far off it here in Dublin. And thank you so much for doing this. It said there, you know, in particular Clare and Limerick, how often do we see regional spikes in STIs like this?
Well, there's also a strong possibility that this is the fact that Clare and Limerick got their stats out ahead of everybody else.
Okay.
And I think this spike is probably much more obvious because the incidence of STIs went down during lockdown in COVID. So obviously that's a very obvious thing that happened because people were locked down, they weren't out having sex, they weren't going to pubs, clubs, whatever. So I think while there was an increase, and this has been flagged up in the US and in other countries since 2019, it probably became much more obvious because the stats were lower during lockdown.
And the rise in STIs, and we were talking about a rise in Dublin, you know, not so long ago and all this kind of stuff. Do you think more people are getting tested these days? Because testing is made easier. For, you know, people can get home kits and do it in the privacy of their own house.
Yeah. I think, yeah, people possibly are getting tested more, but I do think people are probably taking more risks as well. And I think if you look at the statistics, the men having sex with men had a very significant rise in chlamydia and gonorrhea. So that was a group that was very, very obvious. But I think people are taking more risks. I don't think we're perhaps educating people as well as we should do in terms of, yes, contraception is great, but having sex also has another risk besides pregnancy. I think that's a really important message. When I was a junior doctor, we used to talk about the double Dutch method. If I said that to anybody now, they would know what I was talking about. Because in Holland, back in the 80s and 90s, they educated young people to go on the pill and use condoms as well. So until people's relationships were stable and they knew the people, mm-hmm. they used two methods.
Wow, I didn't know that. Should we use a different word? Because contraceptive, by definition, means not getting pregnant. But it, like you said, we need to remember that preventing pregnancy is only part of sexual health.
Absolutely. And that's a really good question. I can't think of what the other word might be. And maybe your listeners will come up with a good alternative. But we probably should.
Yeah.
And while I know that the government have brought in free contraception and it's really, really appreciated, ironically, condoms are not included in that.
Why?
I don't know. We'll have to ask
Mary,
the minister.
Why? Get the minister on the phone.
I don't know. We've got to get him on the phone and ask
that
him.
That is crazy.
And the whole focus on the free contraception, which is brilliant, is actually totally focused on women. And it isn't just women who...
Our responsibility.
Yeah.
It's not just our responsibility. Absolutely. Okay.
Oh, there you go.
That is crazy. That is my... So we think we're so progressive, don't we? And then...
But we have progressed a little. I mean, we have.
We have. Yeah. Still a lot to be done, though.
Contraception is great. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Free contraception is great.
Let's talk about contraceptive options. There's a lot out there, isn't there?
There's
a lot of options
so
out there.
Options. There are so many options and there are so many, you know, each patient and each person, they shouldn't call them patients, sorry. Each person is very individualized. So what will work for one may not be the right thing for somebody else. And I know this whole conversation emanated out of the implant statistics, but there are so many more options out there for people now. So we have the implant.
Yeah.
We have different coils. We have there's obviously copper coils, but we have a newer one because young people are obviously the big focus in the free contraception. There is a Kylena coil, which is much smaller than Marina, with much less hormones. So even within the group of having coils now, there are more options for people. And even for people who wanted to go on what we would traditionally call the pill, we probably should call it hormonal contraception because they have patches, rings, pills, a variety of pills available to them. So there are lots more. And then obviously the implant, I forgot to mention the implant, which is...
Lots of options, for, you said people, but really we're talking about women, aren't we?
We're talking about women.
Mary, recently there were reports that more than 24,000 women opted for the contraceptive implant. I've had friends who have had these. I've never had one myself, but why are they so popular?
I think the reason the implant was more popular and is more popular is that it's an easy option. You don't have to. And if you look within the statistics, which, you know, would be too boring to go into today, it's predominantly used by women under 30. They seem to be the greater proportion of it. And you just got to think about the fact they go into their doctor. The implant is put into their arm. There's no gynae examination involved, which is nice for people who are starting off with contraception for the first time. The downside is, I suppose, it lasts for 3 years. We have to keep replacing it, which is fine too. But for that particular age group, it would be nice to have a contraceptive that lasts longer. So it's a good option. It's an easy option. And I suppose when people had to pay for contraception as well, it was probably a more cost-effective option. But we now have free contraception for people under 30. And I think people need to look at all of their options. And say, for example, if I saw a woman coming in, a young girl coming in with maybe polycystic ovarian syndrome, which is extremely common, that mightn't be the best option for her. A pill might be a better option for her, or someone with heavy periods, a coil might be a better option. So you really have to take a good history and bespoke it for that individual person.
That's great, and great options for contraception. I want to go back to the double dutch scenario, because I think that's a great way of thinking about it, because it's great that, let's be honest here, women are going in and looking after that and getting the coils and the implants and the plants in the arm and all of that kind of stuff and going on the pill and the mini pill and all that and have all these options. But when we have a rise in gonorrhea and chlamydia, what do you think needs to be done there with regards to STIs? What more can we do in that respect?
Well, I think it's about education, and it's about education at a very young age. And I think we have to be realistic as a nation and realise that people do not have monogamous relationships by and large anymore. So young people are having different partners. And once you have sex with someone who's got chlamydia or gonorrhea, you may get it, and you will then pass it on to all the other people. And then they have sex with somebody else, and it has a huge kind of, you know, imploding effect outwards. And one of the other problems is that, say, for example, in women, 75% of women with chlamydia don't even know they have it because it's asymptomatic and it has implications for fertility in the future. So I think education is a huge part of it. I think we need to be also, I do think we need promotional campaigns wherever, you know, I see in clubs and pubs, they have posters in toilets, but at that stage, it's nearly too late. They're not the places to have posters and things. We need to have it in schools, in colleges,
TV,
social media,
radio,
everywhere.
Social media, absolutely. Yes, you're
because
so
that's
right.
That's where people get their information now. And for example, one of the things that I'm involved in with Jen Rock is that the Skin Nerd has set up a health and wellness panel, and we're doing everything you could imagine on women's health, not just gynae, but other things, starting from Wednesday. So they're the kind of forums that the governments and educational bodies need to be looking at. And the condoms need to be free. They need to be freely available. When you go in for your pill to the chemist shop, there probably should be a leaflet that goes with that.
Well, they need to double dutch it. They need to give the pill and the condom as
there
well.
There you are, back from the 90s. That was how kids in Holland were taught in school in the 80s and 90s.
That's amazing. And we need to go back to that. Listen, you're based in Tralee, as we said there, but you're doing a bit of women's health work in Limerick Prison. Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Tell us.
In the end of the beginning of the summer in May, Limerick Women's Prison set up a gynae clinic. So I'm piloting that at the moment. It's the first women's gynae clinic within the prison service. So it's brilliant. It's great going in, providing gynae service for women who are in prison, obviously, and using the opportunity to make sure they get their smears, know about chlamydia, know about contraception, menopause, everything. It's just, it's a project in its infancy, but it looks like it's going to be really good.
Well, that's amazing, and fair play to you. And would you say the biggest problem in all of this, and going back to the work you do in Limerick Prison, is the lack of education around this kind of stuff?
Absolutely. And the lack of making it a normal thing to have a chlamydia test. A lot of people out there probably don't even know about the free testing kits. You can order them online from the HSE. They come to your house. You send back the sample. You get your results in the post. You can do it in the privacy of your home. And I think that's brilliant. And then there's a website called mycontraceptive.ie, which you can go in and find out about all the different contraceptions. Education, education all the way. It has to be.
Okay, amazing. Dr. Mary McCaffrey, thank you so much for joining me this morning. Best of luck in all the work you do. Now, Mary is a consultant gynecologist at Scotia Women's Health Clinic in Tralee. I just want to thank her again for joining us today. And if you want more information, there's a great website. It's called sexualwellbeing.ie. It's a really good source of information, and it does exactly what it says on the tin.
Jen Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.